us to be back in the house of the Lord, to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. He's taken us through many dangers and trials, toils and snares. His grace has brought us through. God bless you. Let us pray before we read the word. Lord God Almighty, we thank you this morning. We're living in such an hour, such an exciting time for the bride. We know it's a terrible time for the world. We thank you because we have a hope. And this hope we have, we cherish not in vain. That is why we come and comfort one another by your word in these difficult moments. We ask this morning that you pass our way and speak to our hearts. May something be said that will encourage us along the way. Brighten our path to glory, Lord. Charge the atmosphere this morning with your presence. Bind every spirit that doesn't confess you. We condemn and cast them out to outer darkness. May our hearts, our minds, our thoughts be one, Lord, with your word. May we open our hearts to receive the seed of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We turn our Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. We will also read Isaiah 66, verse 6 to 9. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Isaiah 66. Read verse 6 to 9. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. May God bless the reading of his word. You may please be seated. The portion of scripture we have read this morning, we want to speak on birth pains. Birth pains. The prophet of God said that a new birth is a mess. Or birth is a mess, he said. We read the last scripture, we read Isaiah 66. It speaks of two conditions. A noise in the city. And there was also a woman bringing forth. And there is a voice from the temple rendering recompense against the enemy of God. Or the enemies of God. And verse 8, God was saying, or the scripture was saying, who hath heard such a thing? Because the next verse there was speaking of a man-child being brought forth. But the Bible says that this woman, before she went into labor or birth pains, she brought forth a man-child. This is a strange situation for birth, to have birth without birth pains. But the scripture said, before pains came, she brought forth. And the next verse is, who has heard such a thing? Verse 8. Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So here, the scripture is speaking of another woman. Zion, of course, is a type of the New Jerusalem, a type of the bride. So here, Zion, amen, as soon as the Bible says she travailed, she went into labor, she brought forth, but the Lord's enemies brought forth without pains. In verse 9, God was saying, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Said the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Whenever God says something, it will come to pass. And we as the bride have also been commanded to bring forth. That is why when we say you can be saved, you can be born again, it is exactly the word of God. It will come to pass no matter how long it takes. If God says by his stripes you are healed, he means what he says. If you hold on to that word, it will come to pass. To travail is an extreme pain and sorrow which is associated with childbearing. And this came by God to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 verse 16. The first verse that we read, the Bible says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And we know also that a woman types the church. And the conditions that the prophet was describing in Isaiah was not to the true church. The first conditions were a woman bringing forth without pains. Amen. That is not according to Genesis 3. Because God associated agony and pain and suffering with childbearing. Amen. In Genesis 35 verse 16, the Bible says here, speaking of Rachel, when Jacob was traveling, amen, and the Bible says in verse 16, Genesis 35, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. When you follow through the scripture, that was how they brought forth. Amen. Let's look at Revelation 12:1 again, just following through the scriptures. The Bible says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And the prophet said, this woman is the church, and the moon under her feet, which he said is the law. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, 12 petras. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. This was Israel bringing forth the Messiah. And the scripture is saying, Zion travailed and she brought forth. And God has never commanded to bring forth and not complete it. Our God is not a halfway God. He doesn't do things haphazardly. Brother Branham said he doesn't make halfway preachers. He doesn't have a halfway church. He doesn't make a halfway Christian. He said, but you can make yourself halfway. So here when God was delivering a child through a promise, it was always through pain that they got delivered. Can we say amen? When Joseph was shown that you are going to be brought into a position, you'll become a great leader, a prime minister, or leader in Egypt,
He did not just go all of a sudden and became a great leader. Let's look at Psalm 105 verse 17. And the psalmist was speaking of Joseph. What happened to him? Just in a summary. Psalm 105 verse 17, the scripture says, and he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that this word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Amen. There was travail, there was pain for birth for that position. Joseph was hated of his brothers. Precious, he was ridiculed and he went into slavery and imprisonment. And all that pain that he was going through was actually bringing him to a position to be birthed into that position of a leader in Egypt. Can we say amen to the word? There was no rejoicing. From the day God said, you'll be born into the kingdom, you'll be my son. It was pain after pain until he was born. And when he was born, then the pain left and rejoicing came. Just as it was in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. For God's children to be born into their position, there is birth pains associated with that. I trust God will anoint our understanding to see these things, and maybe it will help us understand the conditions around our lives. Sometimes we question, why this, why that, why am I going through this? I'm a believer, I pay my tithes, I come to church, I'm serving with the Lord and doing all that I can, but all the time I'm going through from one problem to the other. God has a purpose. Brother Benham said, if God does not have a purpose, he's the author of frustration. But God is not the author of frustration. Amen. Now, David was also to be born into the kingdom, to be birthed as a king. That is a position. Is that right? He just went out. You know, and we see there's a difference between how David became a king and how Saul was born into that position in the kingdom. One day Saul was just going by, his father, you know, has lost his donkeys, and he was sent with a servant to go and search, you know, for the donkeys, and while he was looking for them, he ran into the prophet. And the prophet said, and the prophet Samuel was having a feast. And he said, now I want you to come with me and feast with me tomorrow. You'll be at the high table. And after the feast, and we saw that Saul was now called by the prophet aside. And he was anointed to be king in Israel with no pains. Study your Bible well, you see that. No suffering, no pain. Amen. There was no travail, yet he was born a king. And because there was no pain, it was not a proper birth. And God refused him at the end. But for the one to whom it was meant, the one who was ordained to it right from the book of Genesis, David, he went through a lot of pains. Now let's look at the scripture when Jacob, he was now an old man and he was now blessing his children. He blessed Ephraim, Manasseh, you know, all of the tribe Dan and Judah. He was giving them their positions in the land. Now let's look at Judah's position in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. This was Jacob, the father Jacob. He was now about to depart. He knew that his days on earth was finishing. And here Jacob was blessing his children. And when he came to Judah in Genesis 49 verse 10, this was what he said. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Amen. The scepter here speaks of kingship. Amen. God's perfect will in the tribes of Israel. Levi was a priest, but amen, the children of Judah, they were ordained to be kings. Because out of that lineage, Jesus, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah, was going to come through. Saul came from the tribe of Benjamin. That was not the portion for Benjamin. But David came from the tribe of Judah. Amen. Saul came to the throne by a permissive will. And because it wasn't the perfect will of God, there was no pains, there was no suffering associated with his birth into that position. But you look at David, the son of Jesse, who was promised to be a king in Judah, the promised land. Amen. Judah, in the promised land, the kingship was their adopted position. Are you with me this morning? Amen. When Saul was coming, everybody was happy. Everybody was rejoicing. Amen. And there was prophecies. And he was, you know, he went prophesying among the other prophets. And everybody wanted Saul. For the one in whom it was ordained, there were birth pains from the day God called him to the day he went to the throne. Trouble after trouble. Amen. What am I saying this morning? The new birth goes with a lot of pains. And if you want to follow the Lord, you must be willing and ready to carry out and take those pains. If you're looking at it in any other way, you will be birthed, but you'll be born wrong. So David, all the way from the beginning to the throne, there was trouble. And when he got to the throne, then there was joy. Amen. But now and again, we see him, pains will come up also, because he also, as a king, has to bring forth. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen. So Isaiah was saying, a voice from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. This is also a prophecy, brethren, concerning, amen, people that just walk in the church. And they think as soon as they shake hands with the preacher, then they are born again. No pains. Or when you put your name in a book, that's it. Or when you say, I believe a prophet, that is it. And when you say, oh, I believe the message, that is no prayer, no trial, no suffering. Wrong birth. That is why there is problems along the way. There are preachers that have come into that false birth. There are men, there are women. And the problem around the message today, the problem in the churches, the problem and troubles we have is a lack of a genuine birth.
Jesus said, if any man shall come after me, he should do what? Deny himself, herself, take up the cross and follow me. The cross speaks of pain. The cross speaks of rejection. The cross speaks of you being despised. You will hear that prophet in the messages, and you will deal with those issues. You know how people will just think when they put their name in the book and they say they are born again. Because you see, deception in the beginning came through the birth. Adam and Eve was commanded to bring forth children by the spoken word. And the devil came and deceived them. Amen. He took a quote from the message of the hour and added his ideas to it and gave it to Eve. And when Eve believed it, it produced a wrong birth. Cain was wild, untamed. Praise the name of the Lord. He killed his brother. Brother Branham said, elect does not persecute elect. Look at Ishmael, how he came. It's through deception. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, the devil came to Sarah. I said, oh, you know, this promise has been lingering for a long time. I'm getting old. Like many people are thinking that the rapture is delaying. Amen. And you know, I think, you know, you just go ahead and the promise will come through. Hagar. When she believed that lie, and we saw that it produced a false birth. That is why there is problem up till today. It produced a wild Ishmael. Wrong birth. Amen. Now these pains that we are talking about doesn't come by... You know, it's not a self-inflicted pain. No. It has to come by the promised word. This pain is caused by the promise and God controlling it in order to bring birth. God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, you are going to be a great nation. And that nation came through Isaac, and from Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob to the 12 patriarchs. Amen. And we know how Joseph was sold into Egypt. And later on, his father and his brethren followed him. And they were in Egypt. But God did not just allow them to become a nation all of a sudden. No. Amen. For Edom is different. For Moab, it was different. For Israel, the promised nation, God's own nation, hallelujah. Before she came to birth, Israel was taken down to Egypt. And when they were in Egypt, they thought they were a nation. But God said, that is not true of my promise. You can't be a nation yet. Because you have not gone through birth pains. And whilst they were in Egypt, while they were there, the prophet said they were God's people. But when they came out of Egypt, they became God's church. When they were there in Egypt, they were planting, they were eating, they had their animals, they had families. They were saying, oh, we are the children of Abraham. And friends, while they were there in Egypt, you know, they become so accustomed. Because they were there for 430 years. Until even the children that they were born in Egypt, some of them thought they were Egyptians.
They could speak the Egyptian language fluently. They were used to the Egyptian food. They knew the culture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But whilst they were there, they were the people of God. I want you to know that this world is not our home. God sent them a prophet to call them out of that system. God sent us a prophet to call us out of this system. Hallelujah.
There they were, going to work, doing their normal duties, and until the Bible says one day there arose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph.
And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2 verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of bondage. Why was the sighing and crying for? Because they are going through birth pains. They are about to be birthed as a nation. They are going through these birth pains. Amen. Sufferings and persecutions. Because to be born as a nation, they have to go through pains.
Don't you think in your mind that this rapture, you are just going to go easy? No. That is why Brother Bram spoke of a squeeze. We are feeling the pressure at a different level. Why is the pressure? Because you are carrying a baby. You are carrying a seed.
And when a woman receives seed, her desire begins to change.
Is that correct?
The food that she eats changes. She has a different appetite because that life in her is craving.
Can we say amen?
And as that baby begins to grow in her, even her walk will change.
Is that right?
Her dressing also changed. That is why when a man and a woman receive this word, there should be a change in our lives. There will come a change in our families. There will come a change in the way we worship God. There will come a change in the way we pray. There will come a change in the way we behave at work. Why? Because our desire and appetite change. Can we say amen? There is a different life. There is a craving. Hallelujah. There is a deep calling unto the deep.
May God give us grace.
If you see yourself just lighting in joy and everything is going on good, no pains, things are always good and dandy, and you know everything is fine since you came to the message, you must check out that experience.
Amen. Some through the waters. Some through deep trials. Some, but all through the blood. Jesus leads his church. Birth pains. The new birth is a mess. It is agony. It is not a joy ride. It wasn't a joy ride for Joseph. It wasn't a joy ride for Abraham. It wasn't a joy ride for David. Even when God gave Abraham the promised land, when he left, he had to make a decision to leave his environment, leave everything. That was painful. Everything, you know, he's going to a new land, you know, where he doesn't even know the people. But he left all. And while he was going, he was being tried. He was waiting for this promised son who wasn't coming. Trials came. And the one that came and joined the message, Lot, wasn't called.
If God never called you to this message,
something will throw you off.
That is why many are falling along the wayside. That is why many are denying the message. When the trial came,
Lot, the Bible says, he pitched his tent towards Sodom.
Many today are pitching their tent towards Sodom. Praise the name of the Lord.
You know, science and what you see in the natural types the spiritual. Science today is offering women some medications or whatever it is that when a woman is about to go to labor so that she would not feel the pain. Is that correct? And because they are going against that, that is why the women do not have feelings for the children. They will kill them. They will do anything. Is that right? Yeah.
Jesus was saying, then he said unto the disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In a vision, he was seeing how they will come and arrest him. He was seeing how they will nail him to the cross, the suffering, the agony, and how he will be rejected and mocked. He did not want to go through those pains. But he said, Lord, not my will, but let thine will be done. But we know that through that pain, he was bringing forth a bride. Brother Branham said when he hung there at Calvary, when he was nailed, he was naked. There was nothing on him. Water, blood, and spirit came out of his eye. He said that was the bride coming out.
Can we say amen?
But before the bride came out, there has to be birth pain.
Must I be carried to the skies, carried to heaven on flowery beds of ease, while others sail through bloody seas? No. There's only one way.
Isaiah, when he saw it in a vision, he said, when you look at him, there is no way you desire him. When you look at his face, he may say there's no beauty. It was not a natural beauty. But he was speaking of the death and the suffering that he was going to go through. Nobody will want to go through such a suffering and pain.
Amen. He took the pains and agony and water came out.
Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. I'm just walking you through the scriptures to see what Paul was saying here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you.
Galatians 4, 19.
Paul, the messenger of the age, he said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me.
He said, I'm bringing forth. I'm going through birth pains.
What was he doing? He was bringing forth a church in Corinth. He was bringing forth the Ephesian church. He was bringing forth the Galatian church. Amen. And while he was doing that, his desire for them is that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, while you are coming under that condition for Christ to be formed in you,
I travailed in birth. Let's look at some of Paul's birth pains. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 to 10. 2 Corinthians. Are you following me? I hope you are getting this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. He said, but in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, or distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness and by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, and by love unfeigned. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, or the right hand or the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. So here Paul was describing the birth pains that he has to go through. That is why in Galatians 4 he was saying, I'm travailing in birth. One time he went somewhere, they stoned him almost until the people thought that he was dead. They left him for dead and the Spirit of Christ came back on him. He went to prison. He had shipwreck. Why was he going through all of these things? Because he was bringing forth a church. Can we say amen? We think that once we say we are believers of the message or believe Christ, everything should just be fine. We cry, we blame God, we murmur, we complain. That was why many died in the wilderness. You love him? John was saying in Revelation, I, John, Revelation 1:9, also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Listen to the prophet. In the message, standing in the gap, he said, well, to my brethren, the world over, including Amazing Grace Fellowship this morning, to my brethren, the world over, I want to make this confession. I humbly say it, and that just about what I was doing or fixing to do. I have been preaching for years. I become an old man and an old veteran preacher. And had a lot of hard battles. And maybe I'm scarred. All caught up on the inside from fights. Because my lot, the Lord gave me, was not back to kiss babies. And to marry the young or bury the old. But it was to hold a two-edged sword at the battlefront against the wiles of paganism and demonology. And the powers of darkness. And fight with the word of God till I see the enemy defeated. Hallelujah. I've been caught deep many times. This message never came easy. Are you with me? When Brother Branham was being called to the ministry, you remember? Amen. And God was dealing with him at the early years to go out and begin to take this gospel. And then there came the mother-in-law to stand in the way. What did God do? God took his wife. God took his daughter. What was he going through? He was birth pains. It was for the purpose of this message. So that you and myself will receive this glorious gospel that have changed our lives today. Look, he was so pressured that he wanted to take his life. We know the story. May God help us. We are not going to go in easy. You love him? Peter was saying, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Amen. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory rested upon you. Here he said, in a message I know, he said, God knows what he is doing. God knows. He put us on harsh ash heap in order to show his glory. Can we say amen? He put us on ash heaps in order to do what? To show his glory. And what is the glory of God? The glory of the Lord is when the word becomes flesh in you. For in Genesis, John 1:12, I think 1:14, it said, "And when the word became flesh, we beheld his glory." Can we say amen? So the prophet is saying here that he put us on harsh heap so that he can show his glory. And in order for that glory to be shown in you, amen, the word has to be in you. It is not you that the devil is fighting. It is the word that the devil is fighting. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to destroy your confidence. Can we say amen? When these trials come, he wants you to disbelieve that God is not a healer. I want to tell you today that God is still a healer. God is still a provider. The purpose of God for your life can never be defeated. Listen, friends, no matter what critics rise against this message will roll on. Amen. It will take us to a rapture. Hallelujah. But it comes with pains. He said, "This morning I say this, friends, after 31 years of ministry, after 31 years of toils of the field, I want to make my testimony to this. I've seen disappointments." This is the prophet. We thought everything was just easy. But here he's saying, "I've seen disappointments. I've seen the time I've asked for things and cried for things and begged for things and failed to get them." It's Brother Burnham. "But if I will just wait patiently upon God, then I know that it works out just exactly right. It will come out just exactly right, does just exactly the right things. When I lost my baby and my little Sharon, that was one of the things that stumbled me. I said, how can that be for the good? How can it be for the good? And months later, when I see her standing there in all the beauty of a young girl speaking to me, standing by the side of that old wagon broken down there, I know if she would have lived, she might have turned out wrong." When things happen, sometimes we don't know why they happen. We complain and murmur. But the Bible says all things work for the good. God showed Brother Branham that if Sharon Rose was to grow up to be a woman, she would have gone turned out wrong. God plucked that flower at an early age. God, he said, had to take her while she was tender and sweet. "I know I will see her again. I know I shall see her. I know it is beyond any shadow of doubt." Birth pains. Why was he going through all these things? For this message. The demons in hell are rising up, anointing people, saying all kinds of things. You don't even give a chance to that thing. Not even a second.
Because this message is already confirmed. This message is vindicated. This message has a God stamp of approval. Hallelujah. I think of my wife of 20 years, 22 years old, taking just merely a girl, a little mother there, when the papers gave headlines here. Young mother of Reverend just died. Oh, my heart bled. I didn't know what to do. But today I know it was all working for my good. I know the life had to be ground and twisted and squeezed to get what in it was out. There was too much Branham in there, and he had to be squeezed out before God could make himself known.
Amen. Look, if you are going through a situation, look at it right. There is a good in it.
Why am I going through? Why is this happening? God has a purpose. He said there was too much of you in you till God had to squeeze out through trials.
That's to take that out so that his life can be born. You love this message?
And he said, while the squeezing was coming on, it's hard.
You cry. He said, but after a while, the skies clear back. And you see the purpose of God.
Then you cry, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days, he will stand on the earth. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, hallelujah, shall I see God. These little trials and things are just for a moment. And they fade and pass away. But they are only done for your good. Let us remember that. That God will get glory.
That is why in every age he says, I know. I know your tribulation. I know your trials. I know what you're going through. I know your poverty. I see everything. But why is he not holding back? Because you are to bring forth. Are you with me? You are a church. You are to bring forth Christ. And if you are to bring forth Christ, there has to be pains associated into that birth. You must be born again. That is why I said he may commit some to death. He may commit some to, you know, prison. But all is done for a purpose.
You love him?
Amen. Amen. He said, he read the scripture. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. We all have trials. We've heard some of his. He said, we all have what? Trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering, is not being tried, hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Did you hear that? The church that is not suffering, nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to go through trials, honestly speaking. But our trials are predestinated. Can we say amen? Even when you fail, God knew you will fail. But his grace will come and pick you up again. Our falling place is not our sleeping place. Do you love the Lord? We are a church, hallelujah. We are molded, we are shaped. Paul was saying, one thing I do, amen, to forget the past. I forget my mistakes yesterday. I forget my failures yesterday. I'm looking forward to the mark of the high calling. If I fail, he doesn't fail. I'm not depending upon my merits, I'm depending upon his merits. He said, persecutions and trials are natural and a normal part of the Christian life. Did you hear that? Persecutions in Ephesians 8. It said persecutions and trials are natural. And they are a normal part of the Christian life. There is only one thing you can do about them. Commit them all to God. Judge not. Leave their outworking and final judgment to Him. And we say amen. When we see something that we don't understand, when we fail, when we stumble, when we are sick, when we are rejected, when people call us names, when they call you devil, you are not the first. Jesus was called Beelzebub. Not only was he called a devil, he was called the prince of all the devils. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen, it's not a time to pay attention to people. It's a time to look forward. It's a time as a church. It's a time as a people. It's a time as a family of God to press unto the mark of thy calling. All the things that are happening around us, they are all working out for our good. It's birth pains. And we know this. These are quotes that we know. He said the storms, the cloudy storms, the cloudy skies and storms of life are no sign of God's disapproval. Neither are the bright skies and still waters a sign of his love and approval. His approval in any of us is in the beloved. Because he has elected you and elected me. Praise the name of the Lord. If you are here today still serving the Lord, it's God's grace. So I love the song that says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. If God's grace has brought me this far, God's grace will take me home." Hallelujah. It's getting darker, but God's grace will take us home. This message, I believe with all my heart, it will change our bodies. Can we say amen? I believe, hallelujah, I just want to stand where Brother Benham stood to say there will be a bride. No matter what the devil tried to do, we are more than conquerors through Christ. What are the sufferings and the trials doing to us? They are establishing us, hallelujah. They are putting strength in us. Just like a tree. When the storm begins to blow. The prophet said, if it is a tree, let's say apple tree, or maybe orange tree, or whatever tree you have that you love, a fruit tree that bears fruit, and you see it, amen, and the storm is coming and it's blowing it here and there, it seems as if the limbs are going to break, and sometimes even some of the branches will break off. And standing there watching it, say, oh my tree, and he's suffering, my tree may be uprooted, but while those pains and sufferings and troubles and trials and sicknesses are coming, the storms of life are coming on you, what is it doing? It is opening up the ground. Can we say amen? And the roots are going deeper. The storms are making way, hallelujah, for the ground to open so that it will go deeper and deeper. At the end, it will stand stronger after the storms are over. That's what trials does to us as believers. You love him? Brother Benham said, he talked about the eagle. Just going to paraphrase it. No time to read it. He talked about the eagle. When the eaglets begin to grow to a certain, they come to a certain age, it will take all the soft skin from the nest. And then the thorns will begin to, prick the eaglets. And they become uncomfortable. Listen, we are not going to get comfort. No. Things will get harder and harder. It is the will of God.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Because he wants them, Mama Eagle wants the baby eaglets to exercise their wings. There's something in them. They watch Mama Eagle flying. Is that right? Going to the heavens. And they admire Mama Eagle like we admire the prophet. Can we say amen? Oh, he healed the sick. He did miracles. Amen. Signs and wonders we admire. But as a church of the living God, we have been feeding upon the word of God. We've been feeding on Mama Eagle. Amen. From beak to beak. But there's a time that the baby eaglets must grow. And the Mama Eagle will force the situation. If you don't want to pray, God will make things become uncomfortable around you.
Then you have to pray.
If you don't want to come to church, if a job wants to stand between you and God, God will take that job away.
Then you will know how to run to church.
Because none, he will lose none of his children.
No. He will not lose any of his.
So the prophet of God said, what is the matter? She does not be, because Mama Eagle does not want them to get adjusted to the nest.
This nest of ours. God don't want us to get adjusted to it. We are getting adjusted to our jobs, adjusted to our homes, you know, life, daily businesses here and there. God don't want you because this is not our home. Can we say amen? Oh, I'm worried about my retirement. Don't worry. Everything is crashing now. What are we worrying about up there? That is where I want to retire. I have to work hard so that after I'm, you know, I reach 65, I'm going to retire and travel all over the world. How long do you have to be here? We have not much long to stay friends.
The prophet said that is the way God does his church. He throws trials and tribulations on you. Every son that cometh to God must be tried and chastened of God. He don't want you to get adjusted to this world. Maybe he throws you on a bed of sickness. Maybe he lets you have a heart trouble. A sticker. Everywhere you turn, there's a sticker. The little fellow just can't stand it, and sometimes they will all get all sore. Every time they start to hunker down, a sticker sticks them. Oh, everyone that's ever experienced the birth of an eagle yourself, being one of Jehovah's eaglets, you know what I'm talking about. Trials and temptation. Almighty God taking his son into the wilderness and turn the devil loose on him. Sure. Every son that came to God is tried and chastened of God. Trials and tribulation get bankrupt. Everything go wrong. You lose your business. You lose your friend. You walk away from your sticker. And sticker there. Just remember God is testing you. God is going to do something for you. I remember my own father told me, pack your clothes, get out of here with that kind of a religion. I did. But oh, I've never been sorry. Amen. So, let's stop being crybabies.
Oh, since I came to the message, look at me, look at my friends. This one is prospering. You only know the beginning, but you don't know the end.
That's right.
You don't know where their prosperity is coming from. Let me tell you, friends, the end always justifies the beginning. That is why we don't look at people in this walk. We look at Christ. We look at the message. We look at the prophet. Can we say amen? It's been a hard time where we look at big preachers,
Some of us, oh, this big preacher, oh, that big brother here and there. God doesn't. God himself came and began to stir the nest. God allowed things to happen and shake those things so that we can take our eyes off of the man. Sometimes it's not the men that have problems, it is we. We ourselves that make them, and once you begin to idolize a man, but Abraham said, God will allow him to fail. God will not share his glory. There is only one messenger that is sent to us, Elijah the prophet. Do you love him? May God give us grace. Listen now, friends. In the message, possessing the enemy's gate. He said, a few years later, when trials come and the church got all shook up, as it's so easy for a congregation of people to do when something don't seem to happen the way that it's supposed to be. God makes it that way. God brings tensions into the church. God? Yes. The prophet said, God brings tensions into the church. Sometimes people think that switching churches will solve their problems. I told the church there in New York, I said, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You know that saying, right? Until you get there. Yeah. God bless you, brother. You must have a revelation of where God has placed you. There is no church without trials. Even our family relationships, husband and wife, there are trials that come. Is that right? It's not going to be smooth all the time. But what keeps you going, it is the love that you have for one another. When there is problem in the church, what did the prophet say? You should stay there and pray. Hallelujah. He said, if you leave, you don't have the right experience. Do you love the Lord? I know God moves people sometimes, different purposes and different reasons. But you see, people today, they're like spiritual prostitutes, I call them sometimes. Oh, yeah. Today, they're here. Tomorrow, they're over there. Next day, they're over there. It's like a woman, and when they are staying with the husband, say, oh, look at him, he's this, he's that, and begin, the devil come and begin to say, look at that man over there, he will do better until you get there. When they get there and they get a relationship, they find out that, no, well, my former husband at least was better than this one. And they keep divorcing all the time. That's what we do spiritually. What we need, brethren, is a revelation of the word. Can we say amen? When trials come, when temptation come, when problems and when we are disappointed, amen. God is still holding on to us. Amen. That is why Brother Branham said, God sometimes will cause tensions to come in the church. For every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. Listen now. He lets sicknesses strike you. He let them. Before Job was touched by the devil, he asked permission. Is that right? If you are a child of God, there is nothing that happens to you by accident. He let sicknesses strike you. He let diseases come on you to test you and to prove you and to show the world that you are truly the seed of Abraham. He permit it by his own will. He permit disasters. I'm reading Brother Branham. Possessing the Enemy's Gate, 1959. He said, God permit disasters. He permit the friends to turn against you. He permit all these things and turn the devil loose to tempt you, and he will do all but take your life. He could throw you in a bed of affliction. He could turn neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. He can do most anything. It is God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it is more precious than gold to us. Do we see that? You can be in a church and the whole church is just against you. God can allow the church to misunderstand your position. You talk to this brother, he doesn't see what you are saying. You talk to this one, amen, everybody is just against you. Sometimes these things that comes our way, they are trials. Why? You are a son and a daughter of God. Can we say amen? You have to go through these birth pains. It wasn't an easy walk for Joseph. It wasn't easy for Brother Branham. It wasn't easy for Jesus. Can we say amen? It wasn't easy for David. Every son, everyone that ever came, they had to go through these pains and sufferings and trials. May God help us. May God give us grace. In a few minutes, I will be closing. Listen to the hymn in the message, Victory Day said, now remember, God has counted you worthy when you have a test. God has counted you worthy when you have a test. Now, don't fail to get this. When you have a trial or a test, it shows the grace of God has found you, or you find favor with God, and God believe you will stand the test. Praise the name of the Lord. But sometimes we don't look at our trials that way. Now listen, if it's a test, you have to pass. If you don't pass that test, it will come again. In the natural, when you go to school, you're in a class, they will give you a test. Correct? If you fail, they will not promote you. That is why many times, we find things happening over and over and over again. Why am I still having the same trial? Because you fail the test all the time. Amen. All we need to do, Lord, give me grace. Lord, help me to go through. Lord, I love you. Lord, give me favor, amen, to go through this trial. Why have you been tested? Because there's something in you. Hallelujah. The life of Jesus Christ. The message of the hour. He said, God wants to reflect not members, but genuine stones that is polished and molded and shaped. The goldsmith is standing tonight or this morning or afternoon ready to take all the doubts of dross and all that is against you. Ready to mold you and shape you into believers. Taking all the doubt from you. Amen. May God help us. May God give us grace. It's an awful thing in the message of the text, Exodus, it says, it's an awful thing to say, but truth sometimes seems awful. I just told you how God takes his church through deep waters and marries sons and things. He does it that way. Remember, the pot must be broke into shivers, sheaves, little pieces to be remolded and ground again. Look like a terrible thing to destroy it, but it has to be done thus in order to get the pot remade again. In absolute, they said, in the day that we are living in now, everything is breaking up. So fragile and carried away. I think that this message will be very appropriate thing, especially to Christians when they are going through their deep waters now. Christians, message believers, are going through deep waters now. The Christian church is passing through the deepest water it has ever had the last 2,000 years. Because we are coming to a spot to where there is something presented to Christianity. Something they have to make a decision on. I think that the Christian church ought to have something they know that they are tied to. Instead of just floating about like a leaf upon the water, the wind, as the Bible says, you are carried away by every winds of doctrine. The wind comes, blow the little leaf this way. Another wind comes, blows this one away. North, south, east, west. Wind. You will never get anywhere you are not stable. The Christian life should be established or stable. It should be something, the principle that you are tied to, the more than life itself. Amen. May God help us. He said, God tests his children through testings and trials. Now, as we wind down, the prophet. You see, the rapture, we are going to go in the rapture. And I told you earlier on that we're not going to go very easy. There's going to be pains. There's going to be birth pains. Amen. Jesus, when he was on the cross, the Bible says he shouted. It is finished. It was a message. That was a shout. And when the shout came forth, the rocks rent it. It brought forth a resurrection. The second rapture, there was a travailing, amen, and she brought forth. The first one to make the rapture was Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God. And his walk pleased God. Amen. Amen. In the days of Enoch, there was a days of violence. Because Brother Branham said, Noah, watch Enoch. Praise the name of the Lord. Enoch saw it all, but every time he goes, he walked with God. He goes to work, he walked with God. He goes to, you know, farming, he walked with God. Until his life pleased God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the second one to be raptured in the Old Testament was Elijah. But remember, Elijah was caught up. But before Elijah was caught up, he went through a hard time. He came to a point that he thought he was alone. He was being chased after by Jezebel. Is that correct? He went through a lot of persecution. Why? Because he had the word of God. Because his body was going to be changed. And that is why that woman Jezebel will come after you. Can we say amen? Because why? You are going to be birthed into a new body. They will look for you. They will identify. They know you. They know where you are. But thank God that we have a promise. We have no need to be afraid. Hallelujah. God has given us a promise. Supreme faith. Supreme grace will give us supreme faith in that supreme hour. Before they get you, you'll be off. Elijah was hunted. He went through a squeeze. Amen. And so today also, they will hunt us, they will go through a squeeze. Even Elijah and Moses, when they come back to Israel, before they are caught up, they have to go through pains. They will kill them. So serving the Lord is not an easy thing. But God will give us grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Birth pains. Are you ready to stand your pains? Today, change your thinking. Begin to thank God for your trials. Because Brother Branham said, you found favor with God when you have them. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank God for our brother. He's gone through a lot. But I'm pleased that he's still serving the Lord. And many of you have gone through a lot. But you are still pressing on. Because our focus is not what people say or what people think about us. Praise the name of the Lord. But it's what Christ thinks about you. You love him today? The trying of your faith worketh patience. We could spend almost the whole day taking people from the scriptures, examples of birth pains that people went through, but got the end. It's worth it all. Amen. Friends, it is well. It is well. I say it is well. Amen. When things are bad, it is well. When I can't pay the bills, it's still well. When I am sick, it is still well. When my bank account got negative, it's still well. Praise the name of the Lord. It is well with my soul. You love him today? If you are not suffering, then you are not of God. That's what Brother Branham said. But if you are going through and you are standing and holding on in the midst of your trials, we are going to bring forth Christ again. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and sing, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Let it be a confession in your heart this morning. Maybe you are going through deep waters. Maybe you are going through a lot of things. You may not understand everything that is happening around you. Why am I still this way? I've been in the message. Don't give up. God has a purpose. Well, it is well. It is well with my soul. Oh, it is well. It is well with my soul. Worship the Lord now. It is well with my, oh, with my, amen. It is well, well with my soul. When peace like a river, when peace like a sorrows, when sorrow like sea below, whatever your lot, hallelujah, well, whatever my, thou hast taught me to say, taught me to say, it is well, it is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. Oh, with my soul. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. Let's go to God in prayer and just thank him for your situation. Whatever you are going through, whatever your problem, whatever trial that you are facing today, just appreciate the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, have mercy upon me for complaining. Lord, I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to take my trial because they are blessing in disguise. Let us worship him and thank him.
Joseph went through difficult times. David went through trial. The believers in the dark ages went through great trials. Today is your day. This is your hour. This is your season to hold on to the testimony. Shall we worship the Lord? Make the devil to feel ashamed. He has no power over you. God is in charge of your life. Let's worship him. Give him the praise. Speak to him. Lift up your voices to the Lord. Say, Lord, I bless your name. Lord, I glorify you this hour. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for us. We